It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey. He's holding it down for us on the boards City. In New York City. And we're being joined by you. Thank you so much. There is no show if there is no you. So thank you so much for tuning in on the free Odyssey app, your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 158, and everybody tuned in on a smart speaker. Just ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. So whether you're at home, at work, you're on the road, you're in a submarine somewhere, you're overseas, I don't know where you're at. Thank you for listening. Let's have a good time. I'm going to hang out with you for the next 3 hours. This is a four-hour show. I get started at night, afternoon, wherever depends on where you live. I get started 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 p.m. Pacific. And so let's roll on with the rest of the show. Thank you to everybody who tuned in to hour number one as we took some time to take a look at the Kansas City Chiefs knocking off the Buffalo Bills. Certainly took some calls. People want to get rid of Sean McDermott. People are bandying about the name of Bill Belichick, and he should come in and run the show. And I look at the Buffalo Bills, and I say, it's the talent. Like, they need more talent around Josh Allen. And this is something that's been repeated over the past few years. Obviously, they did bring in Stephon Diggs. He's now been there a few years, and he's also now getting older. And you will hear conversations about whether or not he's going to stay or go. Let me remind you, he's under contract for the next several seasons. And even though he is not, I would put him in the top tier of wide receivers at this point of his career. You know, he's not there with Jamar Chase and Jefferson. He's not there. He's still good. I don't think the Buffalo Bills should move him. For what? Okay, unless he absolutely wants out and he wants to cause a fit, then I can certainly understand it. But he got money coming his way, and he's not an easy dump for the Buffalo Bills. We're going to talk about the Lions because I want to move into some positivity. As we go on throughout the course of the week, obviously we'll dive a little bit deeper into each of the championship games, the AFC championship game, as well as the NFC championship game. And so we got a lot to dive into. I do want to go ahead and share some news with you from the Carolina Panthers. You know, was it last week? Ryan, it was last week, the top six desirable coaching. That was last week, right?
That's right.
And I said the Carolina Panthers, I would not necessarily want to work for David Tepper. It's being reported that the Carolina Panthers, they have not hired a head coach, not yet, but they have decided to add their general manager, Dan Morgan, who I had no idea. I remember him playing. He was the assistant general manager under Scott Fitterer. Well, now Dan Morgan is the general manager for the Carolina Panthers. And so they're going through interviews, obviously, right now with some of the teams that are participating still in the postseason. You know, they can't talk right now. Someone like Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. But the Carolina Panthers have made a decision. They have promoted Dan Morgan as their next general manager. I'm not surprised or shocked. I just had no idea he was working in the organization. I remember him going out there and hitting people for the Carolina Panthers, and now he will be taking David Tepper's money. Congratulations to him, and good luck to whoever gets the job to try to fix that train wreck. Yeah, Carolina Panthers, train wreck city. Hopefully whoever gets there can get something out of Bryce Young. And, you know, fixing a train wreck is not easy, which is why everything going on in Detroit right now is to be admired. It's why Dan Campbell is loved. It's why Jared Goff, at this stage of his career, has found second life in Detroit with the Lions. I remember the day he was traded for Matthew Stafford. I remember tweeting out that they basically sent this man, the Los Angeles Rams, they sent him to NFL Siberia. I had no idea that Jared Goff was going to be helping to take this team to an NFC championship game. I had no idea that Jared Goff would find success and almost be staring right at another Super Bowl. I thought he was done. I thought his career was over. And here we have Jared Goff helping to lead the Detroit Lions to an NFC championship game, something that they haven't done in 32 years. The last time that they went, they lost to Washington, if you can recall that. Some people certainly don't remember it. God bless them. We had a guy call last hour. He's just like, I'm a Detroit Lion hater. I'm like, what did they do to you? Don't you actually got to win something to be hated? I mean, I can understand now if people hate Mahomes and the Chiefs. I think we've gone through this with the Golden State Warriors. People are sick of them and people are tired of Draymond. Like, you actually got to win something to be hated. Give the Detroit Lions a damn break. Somebody called me on my Saturday show, not here, in New York City, I host on Saturdays. And somebody called me up and said, JR, how can you not root for the Lions? Yeah, I'm rooting for them. Now, I want to see what happens. We know that they're going to go out there and take on the San Francisco 49ers. I'm rooting for Detroit. I am. I got no ill will. Detroit didn't do anything to me. It's nice to see a downtrodden, garbage organization have a turnaround. We saw what they did going out there and beating Tampa Bay, even Baker Mayfield. He threw three touchdowns. He threw two interceptions. We know one of them ended up in the hands of C.J. Gardner-Johnson, so he was able to flip him the ball after all of their trash talk. The Lions beat him 31-23. Jared Goff led him on three straight drives where they went out there and scored. He was able to connect with Amon-Ra St. Brown, and the Lions, they got one of the best offenses in the game. They were top five in scoring this year. The defense, pretty average if you ask me. You got Aiden Hutchinson who's out there chasing down quarterbacks. And after the game, the local dude, Aiden, is taking it all in. Because him growing up, all he knows, like most people, the Lions suck. But not anymore. Jared Goff has helped turn things around. And every week we are reminded by Dan Campbell that, yeah, L.A. didn't want him. We wanted him. We got him. And that now we're staring in the face of a Super Bowl if we go out there and knock off the San Francisco 49ers. Dan Campbell, he knew it and he said it, always with passion. He said, our team, oh, yeah, we can play with anybody.
I envisioned that we would have a chance to compete with the big boys, and that's where we're at. All you got to do is get in, you know, and it's about placing yourself the very best position to where you can move.
Yeah, well, they have. I can't say I'm shocked, but saying all of this still feels like a massive surprise. Lions? NFC championship game? It's the first time I told you in 32 years. It's their first time ever winning two playoff games since 1957. What? 1957. I don't know if I'm going out on a limb here, but I think the majority of our listeners right now, I don't care if you were alive at that point. Do you remember that? I'd say probably not. Somebody who's not surprised at where they are is the quarterback, Jared Goff, the man who threw two touchdowns yesterday. Jared Goff says, man, NFC championship game? Oh, yeah, I've been there before, and I'm back. Am I surprised? No.
But I think it's a credit to all the guys in there. We've said this a million times about how it's the same group. It's not like we've, you know, added a ton. It's a lot of the same guys, and Brad and Dan have been very intentional about bringing in those type of guys who can handle moments like today and moments like last week and ups and downs of a season. And I think it's all been intentionally done by them, and we're not here by accident.
Yeah, I mean, you think about some of the talent that they've been able to bring in that makes this offense so young and so dynamic. Jahmyr Gibbs rushed for a touchdown. And then you have Amon-Ra St. Brown. I told you about his touchdown. They drafted and brought in Sam Laporta. They have brought in young weapons that are not going anywhere. And I thought Jared Goff was done. I thought he was being sent away to a faraway land. This is like that cartoon, what's it, Garfield, every time he threatened to send Odie to, like, Abu Dhabi. I felt like Jared Goff got the boot out of Los Angeles because Sean McVay couldn't stand him or his turnovers. And here he is. One win away. This sounds wild. One win away from taking the Lions to the Super Bowl? Still sounds crazy to say. Dan Campbell continued on, and he's just like, man, my team? Oh, we don't quit over here. Listen to this.
It speaks volumes the type of guys we got in the character. And, you know, Derek Barnes comes away with a huge pick there at the end. Game on the line, and, you know, I thought our defense played outstanding. You know, we gave up a couple of things, but ultimately, man, we did what we had to do. Two takeaways.
And now they got the 49ers coming up. Wow. We know the Lions were going to be good. And let's remember this. It was only last season where the Detroit Lions had a tale of 2 years that somehow, some way, Dan Campbell was able to make it through a full year, that they were able to turn their season around, and that they've been able to take the momentum from last season and build off of it into this one. Dan Campbell will make you want to run through a wall. He's inspiring. I don't know if it's the coffee. I don't know if it's the pre-workout. He still looks like he can go out there and catch a couple of passes. I know they just had to sign Zach Ertz. Damn it, why can't he go out there and play? I say that facetiously for anyone who didn't get it. But let Dan Campbell go play. I'm sure he could give you a couple of snaps. The guy looks jacked to the gills. The Detroit Lions deserve love. The Detroit Lions deserve recognition. And I don't know how far they're going. I don't know if this is something that lasts into next year. I don't know if they're perennial title contenders for a four-year window. I have no idea. But Lions fans are soaking this in as they should. The tailgating, the ticket prices, the Lions deserve it all. And now they got to go on the road. Now they got to take on the 49ers. Now the Detroit Lions have to move one more obstacle out the way to go to a Super Bowl. If the Lions can turn things around, there's hope for some other teams. I guess there's hope for the New York Jets. I guess there's hope for some of the other also ran. They have a chance. They're not going to be playing at home. There's no more Ford Field for the rest of the year. And the fans who've been lighting it up for the past two games, who've been showing up and showing out and purchasing the tickets and hanging out at Eminem's Mom's Spaghetti Rest, they have been having the time of their lives, because most people in Detroit have never experienced a winning team. Jared Goff, he talked about the crowd, and he said, oh yeah, they brought it, and they deserve it.
I did. I enjoyed it, and knew it'd be our last one in front of our home fans this year, and took it all in, and those guys are, you know, mean a lot to us as a team, and we're really impressive today.
Sent them out, sent them home with a bang. We'll talk about this matchup specifically between the Lions and the Bucks, or excuse me, the Bucks are now gone, the Lions and the 49ers as the week continues. But isn't it easy to root for the Lions? Isn't it easy to root for the underdog? Isn't it nice to see a team that doesn't get anything have something right now? Detroit has just been terrible. All their teams. The Pistons, garbage. 27 losses straight. How do you do that? The Tigers haven't been to the postseason in a decade. They haven't won a championship since, what, 84? The Red Wings, they haven't been to the playoffs in almost 10 years. They deserve the Lions. Let's see how far they can go. We're going to talk about this more throughout the course of the week. Congratulations, Detroit. You actually got yourselves a winner. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Todd is calling from Tampa. I think I might know where this is going. You're on CBS Sports Radio, Todd. What's up?
Well, JR, let's get down to business. I had my Buccaneers with Jody Mack in the NFC Championship game, and at halftime we're 17-17. And Todd, you know, I'm just saying, I'm giving Detroit, you did what you had to do. But there's no way we should have lost that game, okay? Todd Bowles did not blitz Lavonte David one time and put Jared Goff in the ground, okay? He put Devin White, who's got three postseason turnovers at middle linebacker, on the bench and put K.J. Britt in there. Yeah, he had 14 tackles, but Devin White has three postseason turnovers. At the end of the day, we lost a game that we should have won. And if you say that down here in Tampa, they're pissed off at you because I said we had the team to be in the NFC Championship, and these clowns on the radio down here said we'd have 7 wins or 4 wins, and they don't want me to tell. Let me tell everyone in Tampa, we should have won that game with the crowd going hysterical and all that, and all the players, including Baker Mayfield, knows it. Why are we going for 2 points when we kick the extra point and beat down by 7, and with 1:59 left, we still got Mike Evans, who was housing everybody down there in Detroit, and we could have gone to him deep and tied that game and won that game. It's a disgrace to Tampa Bay. I give Detroit and Dan Campbell for winning that game when he had to have it, and God bless Detroit. But we
Well, thank you, Todd, for calling from Tampa. Thank you so much. Hey, Hickey, I think he's upset, right? Is he upset?
Oh, he's fired up. Todd, you know, maybe put the resume in for the next head coach of the Buccaneers if Todd Bowles is not brought back. He could fire up a locker room right there.
Yeah, Todd Bowles even catching heat at the end of the game for kind of conceding, giving in the game and letting the clock run out. People not happy with him there. Let's do this. We're going to take a break. The phone lines are still open, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to come back on the other side and talk about these Buccaneers because he was fired up. And I get it. He's a fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's his hometown squad. But is he realistic? Is he realistic? We're going to talk about the Buccaneers. I'll go ahead and take a look at the phone lines. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I want you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Right before we went to break, we showed a whole lot of love to the Detroit Lions. They deserve it. This is a team that doesn't even know what a Super Bowl is. They know what an NFL championship is. They don't know nothing about no damn Super Bowl. I mean, they haven't even been this close to one in 32 years. That's a long time from when they went to the NFC championship game and lost to Washington. Congratulations to the Detroit Lions. And for the Bucs, you know, we had a guy, I think his name was Todd from Tampa. He was upset. He was real mad about, you know, them going for the two-point conversion late. And, you know, there's other reasons. I can look at Todd Bowles. He kind of conceded the game. And it's like, hey, why am I using timeouts? The game is over, where it really wasn't over. And I get it. And I guess that's what happens if you are living and breathing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers every day. But the reality is, Tampa Bay Buccaneers weren't all that good. You know what I mean, the guy Todd called from Tampa, and he's just like, oh, the people on the radio were like, oh, we're going to be a 7-win team. We're not going to be good. We're not. Yeah, we almost were a step away from the NFC Championship game. Man, you got to come to reality. 7 wins versus 9? Like, they are 9-8 team. Come on. How much confidence do you have in the squad? They're 9-8. If this was a decent conference, if the NFC South was worth a damn, if they didn't have poor teams like the Falcons who just go 7-10 every year, man, the Buccaneers wouldn't be here. You have to give the Buccaneers credit. You got to give Baker Mayfield credit. He had a hell of a season. He was able to rejuvenate and revive his career to actually be something. But let's not talk about the Buccaneers like they, you know, they missed out on their best chance, man. Kudos to them. This is post-Tom Brady that they even went to the postseason. But let's calm down. I don't got no thought in my brain. Nobody looked at the Buccaneers at any point throughout the season, or dare I say postseason, even when they smashed the Eagles. I don't think anybody looked at the Bucs and said, oh, yeah. Yeah, Super Bowl contenders. Come on. They maxed out with what they have. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Mary is calling from Tampa. Hey, Mary, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hi. When they went for 2 points and had courage enough to do that, I wonder why they didn't go for 4th and 1. They could have made that.
Yeah, well, I hear you, Mary. I think a little too late for that. Are you a huge Buccaneers fan?
Not a huge Buccaneers fan.
Oh.
But I do like the Packers, so.
Oh, well, that's, well, I guess two of your teams went down. So who are you going to be rooting for now, Mary?
San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. you're going to root? Wait, help me out here. You're going to root for the team that just beat your team? Help me out with that logic.
Well, the Lions just beat our team.
Yeah, but you just, I'm confused. You said, so you like the Buccaneers, right?
Right.
And then you also like the Packers?
Yes.
And the 49ers just beat them.
Well, I'm waiting for Aaron Rodgers to come back on the Packers.
Oh, my God. So what are you? You're a Jets fan too now, right?
I'm a typical woman.
Uh-oh. What does that mean? Help me out. What does that mean?
Well, give me a word for that.
Give you a word? Nah, yeah, I'm not falling for that trap, Mary, okay? Let's just call you wonderful, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, see, there's another superlative. You're awesome as well. Hey, Mary, thank you so much for calling from Tampa, okay?
My pleasure.
All right, cheers. Thank you so much, Mary. Hey, Ryan, I wasn't falling for that. Was she trying to trap me, trying to trick me? Like, what do I call a woman? Nope, not me. I'm not doing that.
Trying to get you to say the word front runner?
Well, there's quite a few words that went through my brain. She says she's a typical woman. I'm not touching that one. But, yeah, I guess she is a front runner. She certainly is indecisive. I'm not applying that or putting that label or tag on women. I'll let Mary do it. Women are amazing. Let's just leave it there. 855-212-4CBS. Dave, he's calling from Arkansas. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Dave?
Hey, JR. Hey, you did ask to be positive is what you wanted. And so I thought that I'm a Green Bay Packers fan.
Oh.
And Green Bay, I got a little echo here. Green Bay had a great year. Jordan Love had a great year and very happy. They can build on that. But Baltimore, I'd like to see Lamar get in there. They're playing great. And believe it or not, I'd like to see Jared Goff and Detroit get in there. I'm going against conventional wisdom. I don't root against Detroit. I mean, give them some love. Let's, even though I'm a Packers fan, go ahead, Detroit, win the Super Bowl. I don't think they can handle success. Green Bay has no problem with Detroit in the long term.
Wow.
Let's have Detroit win the Super Bowl and have Lamar give a chance to the Super Bowl. And as far as Tampa, Tampa exceeded expectations. They should be happy,
right,
too. So
that's,
let's,
right,
keep it positive.
All right. Well, thank you, Dave.
Have a good one, JR.
You as well, Dave. I like the positivity. I did not expect to hear that. We got a Packers fan rooting for the Lions? What am I going to have? I'm going to have a Bears fan call up next? Wow. Didn't see that one coming. Hey, speaking of the Bears, hey, let's go to Illinois and let's talk to Brent. Hey, Brent, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's on your mind?
Hello, JR. Can you hear me?
I got you loud and clear, Brent. Go on ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm going to show some love from being from Illinois. I'm going to show some love for the Detroit Lions. More for Jared Goff.
Go for it. You're on the radio. Go.
Yeah, I'm from Illinois. I'm showing love for the Detroit Lions, mostly for Jared Goff, because it's a wonderful story that he's doing.
Yeah, it's nice. He almost had nothing, and now he's almost a step away from the Super Bowl, Brent. Well, you're a nice guy. Thank you.
Thank you. No, JR, but I want to point out something very important.
Yes.
The Detroit Lions is the only team in the NFC conference that has not reached a Super Bowl. The only NFC team. In the AFC, the Jaguars, the Browns, and the Texans, those are three teams in the AFC conference that hasn't reached a Super Bowl either. But the Detroit Lions is the only NFC team that hasn't reached the Super Bowl yet.
Yeah, that's obviously a post-merger. The Detroit Lions do have a championship. Well, they have four of them, but none of them happen to be the NFL championship. And what makes the pain even worse, a lot of the teams that you just mentioned, on the AFC side, they're expansion teams. And in the case of the Browns, they had to go away and come back. So it must really suck when you're an NFL team and you've been around for almost 100 years now at this point. And your most recent championship wasn't even an NFL championship, wasn't a Super Bowl championship, and you got to go back to the 50s. So there's a lot of folks in Detroit who are just taking this one in. I don't blame them.
Jerry, you're my favorite. You're my absolute favorite, and thanks for taking my call.
Oh, sure, Brent. Call me anytime. Much love to Brent. Thank you for calling. You're my favorite, too. Hey, Ryan, that guy's my favorite. Brent, I like him. Good guy.
Very nice guy.
Yeah, let's bring him back some more. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to take a break on the other side. You know, we've shown love to the Lions. They're going to receive a lot of love all week. Let's go ahead and put a fork in the Buccaneers. We'll hear from Baker Mayfield and how he felt after the game. And then, you know, the team that the Buccaneers beat, those Eagles, they ain't getting rid of their coach. Nick Sirianni is staying, and he might get some help from a coach who did get fired from another NFC East team. I'm going to go ahead and explain. I'll pick up the phones. I'll do a lot.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. In a few seconds, we're going to get to your phone calls. We're going to hear from Baker Mayfield, also hear from Mike Evans following their loss to the Detroit Lions 31-23. As I sit here in the studio in the background, I have on the Philadelphia 76ers and the San Antonio Spurs on another screen, on one of the screens in here. And San Antonio currently leads 37-36. This game just got underway. It's the start of the second quarter. And I decided to take a quick look at the box score because this is the first game that Victor Wembanyama is playing against Joel Embiid. So I said, let me actually look at the numbers here. After the first quarter, Victor Wembanyama had 10 points, and I had to go, okay, this is a big deal. And I looked on the box score, and Joel Embiid had 24 points. And so I guess these two dudes have just been going back and forth and back and forth the whole game. And as I said that, you know, Victor Wembanyama just put a bank shot in off of the glass. And so this is certainly going to be a fun watch. I'm going to keep this one on in the background while I am here on the air. San Antonio Spurs is certainly used to a lot of success. And I'm like, wow, what is Victor Wembanyama going to look like when he has more experience? Because he's making this look a little too easy right now. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go ahead and go to California and talk to D. Hey, D, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, GR? I love your show. I was just calling. I said, finally, we get to. I get the matchup that I have been wanting to see for a couple of years now, and that's Mahomes and Jackson going at it head to head. And finally, maybe Lamar can get this monkey off his back and he can get some respect he deserves. I think he's a great quarterback, but no doubt about it, Mahomes is the best. So let's get the best, go at it, the best of the best, and let's see what the outcome is going to be.
Well, absolutely. I'm in the same boat with you, D, and thank you for calling from California. We're going to talk about Lamar and give him his flowers at the top of the hour. I'll give you a little bit more detail there. I'm looking forward to that one as well, as the Ravens have finally gotten over the hump. You can't knock Lamar. We'll get into that at the top of the hour. Hey, let's finish up on this point for the Buccaneers as their season has come to a close. And I'm not surprised or shocked, not by any stretch of the imagination. Credit to Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield has played himself into a new contract. I have no idea what it's going to look like. I'm sure he's going to get, I assume, maybe in that 40 range, I guess. We know the top quarterbacks in the game right now are making $52 and $53 million. Baker Mayfield is not going to touch that, but he has played himself into a contract. And Baker Mayfield, after the loss, man, he knows that it sucks. Listen to this.
It sucks. I feel like my heart just got ripped out, but it's football is a complex game, but it's also simple. It comes down to taking care of the ball. And in two-minute drives like that, when you know you're going to have four downs to use, just a bad mistake by me. And it sucks because I know what type of group we've had all year, that we fought to get to this point. We fought to be in that game. We weren't supposed to be here by any measures, but we believed in each other and we fought for it. And so, this one's going to weigh on me for a while.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield had two interceptions to go along with three touchdowns. One of the interceptions went off of the hands of Mike Evans. Another one was late in the game. He's trying to do a little to seal the game and close it off. Speaking of Mike Evans, this is someone who once again had another 1,000-plus yard season, had 10-plus touchdowns. This is what he does, and he keeps on going. He's going to be 31 come August, and Mike Evans is also going to be a free agent. But Mike Evans said on the way out, like, Baker Mayfield, oh, he doesn't get the love that he deserves. Listen to Mike.
Baker's a hell of a player, and he showed everybody that he's criminally underrated. And, you know, I was happy when we signed him. I knew he'd be a great player for us.
Oh, underrated. And so what's next? Baker Mayfield is a free agent. I can't imagine him going anywhere. Someone who's had to protect him on the offensive line, Tristan Wirfs, he talked about Baker. He wants him to be the QB for next season.
He knows Baker. Everyone knows how I feel about Baker. Baker's a dog. It's been a great, it's been a great friend. It's been awesome to build our relationship throughout the season and just get closer. So, yeah, I really hope he's back.
Well, I think Baker will be back. I don't know about this dude, though. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Mike Evans isn't a, I just showed up today or recently. Mike Evans has been catching passes for the Buccaneers since 2014. Almost every single season, not even almost, every season, 1,000 yards. Almost 10 touchdowns plus a season, almost every year. You can almost bank on it. Mike Evans is going to be a free agent. He's on the other side of 30. And Mike Evans talked about his own future, and this is what he had to say.
I've been, you know, on record saying how much I love this place and how much I want to be here. Not a lot of guys finish, you know, with one team. So that'll be amazing if I get to do that. But, you know, we'll see. I'm still trying to get over this loss.
Still trying to get over this hump. Congratulations to the Bucks, man. Not expected to be here. Bouncing back post Tom Brady. Baker Mayfield getting himself a deal. Mike Evans likely to get himself a deal. And speaking of deals, hey, Hickey, we just had a deal come down the pipe. Well, what's the deal here with the, is it the Titans? What's up?
I guess you could say because the Patriots, right, that was the weird contract, so it's not like they interviewed anyone. So the first real head coach opening has been closed. The Tennessee Titans, according to Adam Schefter, are hiring Bengals offensive coordinator Brian Callahan as their next head coach.
Brian Callahan, they're finalizing the deal. Yeah, Titans are working to finalize a deal to bring in Brian Callahan. Now, let me tell you something. I wish I could be excited. I wish I could be thrilled. I wish I could say, oh, this is nice and this is great. And oh, look at what he did in Cincinnati. And look at what he did with Joe Burrow and Chase. I wish I could say all of that. I still think the Titans suck. I think the Titans are going to suck until I know or I hear otherwise. I think getting rid of Mike Vrabel is still one of the dumbest things that I have ever seen or witnessed in my life. I have no idea what Brian Callahan is going to go out there and do for the Cincinnati, or excuse me, he's leaving the Bengals for the Tennessee Titans, because guess what? The Tennessee Titans need talent. It's that simple. They need talent. One thing that Brian Callahan is not going to bring with him, or multiple things. Hey, Ryan, is Joe Burrow going with him?
Last time I checked, no. And, stay in Cincinnati.
Is Ja'Marr Chase going with him?
That'd be a no.
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations to Brian Callahan getting his first head coaching job here. But, man. Let me know when you got yourself some talent. Tennessee Titans adding offensive coordinator Brian Callahan from the Cincinnati Bengals. Congratulations. 855-212-4CBS. Eric is here from Texas. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, JR. Thanks for having me this evening.
Sure. Go ahead.
I'm a huge Lions fan living here in Texas. In fact, I even got the NFL Sunday ticket in 2008 and watched most of those games, rooting for them just to win one game when they went 0-16. So, man, this is like crazy, man. It's like I still can't believe it, but I just wanted to talk about Gibbs and LaPorta. I want to thank Matt Stafford for those. Those were two of his picks from the trade, and it's the gift that keeps giving. So he kind of set us up for a long time. Everybody's the Lions.
Are you originally from Detroit or?
I'm originally from Harbor Springs, Michigan, sir.
Okay, great. Awesome, man. Nice.
Yeah, so Gibbs, everybody thought we were stupid for taking him, you know, early on in the draft. You never draft a running back, but I mean, if you see somebody like electric like that and your talent scouts think that that's the guy, I mean, I'm glad they pulled the trigger. LaPorta. You know, the Cowboys, they drafted the tight end Schoonmaker right before LaPorta in the third round. I'm glad that they didn't draft him because he's just an absolute stud. He's first among all tight ends in the NFL. And also I want to say Jared Goff, you know, he did a lot of these short little dump-off passes to Gibbs and LaPorta and let them do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see nothing wrong with that. If he wants to dink and dunk all the way to a Super Bowl ring, I don't have a problem with that.
Because listen. Go ahead, finish up. Go ahead quickly.
I just want to say, because you look at the Buffalo game, and when he was going to digs deep, you know, there's always people open underneath, and I was like, man, he should be dinking and dunking.
Well, I think the most important thing for Mr. Goff is the reason why Sean McVay got rid of him is because he had a habit of turning the ball over, giving it to the other team. That doesn't appear to be an issue right now. I think it's pretty awesome that every time Dan Campbell has an opportunity to speak, he lets everybody know that, listen, he may not have been good enough for you out in Los Angeles, but he's good enough for us right here in Detroit. And this is a hell of a comeback story. And thank you so much, Eric, for calling up from Texas. It is pretty wild when you think about some of the quarterback stories in the postseason right now. Just this postseason, because some of these guys have been eliminated. So Baker Mayfield, we just heard from him, and he said this sucks. Baker Mayfield played himself into a contract. This is someone who was drafted number one overall in 2018 by the Browns, took them to the postseason. The Browns ultimately said, oh, wow, we got an upgrade here in Deshaun Watson. Sayonara, Baker. It doesn't matter what happened, where, what they did, how long they haven't been to the postseason. They got rid of Baker. Had to go to the Panthers. Had to go to the Rams. Is now here with the Bucks. Wild stuff. He's going to get himself a contract. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back on the other side, speaking of quarterback stories, we're going to talk about Lamar Jackson. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.